The Principles of Christianity. December 27, 1910. Typed. Men often keep their own glory in view, working to exalt self. But this is not profitable. God's glory should be paramount in the life, regulating every word and act. God's principles are to be regarded as infinite truth, not as truth arbitrarily put across the track as a stumbling block, but as a truth that it is necessary to obey for the well-being of the whole man. Man sinned against God, and thus became a member of the fallen order. Before he can enter the heavenly courts, he must be purified and sanctified. The law of God points the sinner to Christ as his only hope. He who is saved must exchange his sins for the righteousness of Christ. Thus God sets his guard round his majesty, lest men should imagine that human will is the great power. We need now to set ourselves in order. Cautions and warnings have been given us, bidding us watch and pray, lest we enter into temptation. Let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 14 to 17. These words are given to the church as an assurance and encouragement. We are not left without hope. Let us consider the responsibility resting upon us to educate ourselves in faith. We are individually to cooperate with God in the work of making our characters Christ-like. We cannot possibly live in the Spirit and do the work of God without special help from above. The Lord desires His people to reveal true courtesy in their association with all men. In His life practice, Christ has given us an example of how we are to speak and act. Let not those who claim to be doing Christ's service become rude, selfish, or careless in regard to little things. Kind words and a courteous deportment go a long way toward making us witnesses for Christ. Christ rose from the dead, proclaiming the wonderful truth, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, verse 25. And even at this time, he was careful to fold up the napkin that had been bound about his head and put it away. This was a little thing, but in this attention to detail, the Savior sought to teach us a lesson. The risen Christ thought of Peter, who, just before the Savior's death on the cross, had denied his Lord with cursing and swearing, saying, "I know not the man." Christ said to the women, "Go and tell my disciples and Peter." Mark 16, verse 7. This also was a little thing, but Christ knew that to mention Peter by name would be a great encouragement to the repentant disciple. The members of Christ's church are to be so imbued with His Spirit that it will be their constant effort to relieve perplexity and distress. They are to keep in close touch with Christ, learning of Him how to be faithful in little things, how to speak words of comfort, how to lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. Let us be very careful of the words we speak, lest they bruise the souls of those who hear. We are to speak words of encouragement, words that will cheer and bless. Genuine religion reveals its living power in Christ-like service. Little words and acts of love cost the giver nothing, but they are powerful in their influence for good, and they are looked upon by the angels of heaven as larger service. The Lord Jesus would have his people more thoughtful, tender-hearted, and sympathetic toward those who need the help of kindly words and unselfish deeds. As we do this kind of work, we are cooperating with Christ in his work.
We all need in our lives the power of the grace of our Lord. We need daily to receive the grace of Christ. Of the Savior it is written, "Thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Psalm 45, verse 7. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Acts 10, verse 38. And this power Christ is ever ready to impart in its fullness to those who come to him with full purpose of heart. God gave not the Spirit by measure unto him, and of his fullness the church on earth is to receive. John 3, verse 34, 1:16. The same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. 1 John 2, verse 27. Now he which stablisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21, 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, verse 22. This is the preparation we must all have in order to be ready to meet our Lord when he appears with power and great glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, verse 4. Oh, what encouragement we find in the Word of God! I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11, verse 25. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5, verse 11, 12. Let no one pass along careless of his words and acts in his association with others, because any neglect that hurts and bruises the soul of another hurts the soul of Christ, whose property human beings are. Those who are thus careless have, it may be, wounded a soul unto its death, taken away its faith, giving a fellow being reason to doubt their Christianity. Christ is wounded and bruised in the person of his saints. It requires as much Christianity to live the divine life as to die in the divine life. It is possible to give our bodies to be burned, to distribute all our goods to feed the poor, and yet not have in our hearts the truth that works by love, reaching out to be helpful and tender, and kind and noble to all who come within the sphere of our influence. Christ came to the world to be our example. His life was noble and unselfish, purified from all covetous practices.